This episode of Confetti is made possible by the Wedding Business Guide, an online resource where you'll find video and audio tutorials, downloadable wedding planner forms, and step-by-step information to help you launch your wedding planning business. Check it out at weddingbusinessguide.com. Coming up on today's show, we'll get the answer to the frequently asked question, exactly what do I need to do to be a wedding planner? If you've ever wondered what it takes to get started, this episode is for you. My name is Debbie Quain, and this is Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show.
Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show.
Hello, happy Tuesday. You're listening to episode 321 of Confetti, the fun, lively call-in wedding planning business talk show. My name is Debbie Quain. Thank you for joining me. I'm broadcasting live today, Tuesday, September 25th, 2012, from the Washington, D.C. metro area. And you can join me here on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. To get the inside scoop about what's what here on Confetti, please visit confettiradio.com. If you have a question or a comment for tonight's live show, please, please either call in or join us in the chat room. So let me tell you how to do that. The call-in number is 626-213-5678. And if you're on the phone lines, you can listen to the show without saying a word. However, if you have a question or comment, hit the number one and I'll bring you on live. You can also type your questions and your comments in the online chat room. And I can see several of you there. Let me tell you where you can find the chat room. We're on Blog Talk Radio, which is where the show got its start. So either you got the direct episode URL, right? If you don't have that, then just go to blogtalkradio.com/confetti and just follow the button that says on air. I think that's what it says, a bright red button. And that'll take you to the episode page and you'll hear the audio. And if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, you'll see the chat room and you can join in there. But what I think you'll enjoy more is coming over to Confetti Live at Confetti Live, L-I-V, like Victor, E like Edward, confettilive.com. And there you'll see the live video stream, but you'll also see the chat room where all the cool people are hanging out. So you can type your comments and your questions in that chat room. And as many of you are doing already, please post your Facebook URL, your Pinterest URL, your website, your Twitter handle, however you would like others to communicate with you, because I found that a lot can be done when you talk to other like-minded people. So please, you know, continue to do that throughout the show. If you are, if you're on the chat, in the chat room, I've mentioned this before, but let me just remind you, right? So it's at the bottom of Confetti Live. If you scroll all the way down, you can pop out that chat room because it's limited, right? There's a little, only a little bit of real estate there. If you pop that out and make it its own window, that might be easier for you to follow along with what's going on. Okay? All right. Wow, I was trying to keep still because every show that I do, I just keep rustling the papers. And when you listen to the recording, it's like, sit still, Debbie, already. Oh, by the way, if you're on Twitter, please use the Confetti Radio hashtag to ask your questions. So just use Confetti Radio as your hashtag. Okay. So our last show we did last week, we talked about how to start a wedding invitation business. And I was very fortunate to have a guest co-host, Sydney Cusick from Carlson Craft. And it was a really great show. We went over the ins and outs, the benefits of having your own invitation business, which you can do simultaneously. It complements your wedding planning business, or you can just do the wedding invitations by itself. So Sydney explained how easy it is to get started and really is a low cost investment. And I think, again, a great way to get started in our industry. So we got some great feedback. Thank you for your comments. I also heard that several listeners contacted Carlson Craft to learn more. And I think if you're curious, if you're not even sure that it's what you want to do, contact them anyway. If you go to confettiradio.com/320, that's where that episode page is. You'll see in the show notes a link to Carlson Craft, and there's also a telephone number that you can call. I'm not going to bombard you with overload information by repeating that, but just go to confettiradio.com/320, and you'll get all the information there. Listen to the replay. It's a little longer than an hour, but we had so much good information that we wanted to share. We sort of went over, and I try to keep everything within the hour, but sometimes it's just, the information just needs to get out there, and we had some good questions. So I wanted to make sure we covered as much as we could. So check that out. No pressure. No one's going to force you into doing anything you don't want to do. On the contrary, Carlson Craft will provide you with some really great information, and they'll be honest with, you know, they'll ask you about your target market, who, what kind of brides you service, and what type of price point you're interested in. So check that out. Okay. And I've received a lot of email questions. Thank you so much. I do want to mention something, right? Because I can almost sense it when I'm reading the frustration sometimes, because I can tell that you might be thinking I'm not responding fast enough. Believe me when I say I do get your emails and I do read them. But what I try to do, because I really want to emphasize the sharing, I'll sometimes save that information for a show, which is sort of what drove me to do tonight's topic. So it's not that, and I've heard some of you write, you know, and I've asked this question before. So it's not that I don't want to answer or I'm ignoring you. I just think, I believe that if I can share the response with more of us, I'm guessing several of you have similar questions, so that's what it is. But if it's something that's time sensitive, try to include that, but I cannot promise that I'll respond as quickly as you would like, because Confetti Radio is just a part of what I do. You know, I plan weddings and other events, and so sometimes it doesn't happen fast enough. So please forgive me, but don't take it personally. But you can always call. Calling is good. The number's on the website, and there's also a recording, a place where you can leave your voicemail message. If you go on to Facebook, facebook.com/confettiradio, there's what's that little thing you call right under the cover photo image? And you can just hit that. It's got a red phone, a pink phone, and you can just record from the microphone on your computer. I'll get your message. And I tell you what, if it's a voicemail like that, I'm likely to respond a lot faster, because I love to talk. So I'll just reply to your message. Okay. So thanks everyone for being here again. If you're in the chat room on confettilive.com, post your information, how you want people to reach you. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, website, whatever, emails, however, because there's a lot of good information. Oh, Facebook. A couple of you suggested a Facebook group, and I promised, I'm breaking promises, that I would have that up. I haven't put it up, and I got to tell you, Facebook, I know, is a really great resource for our businesses. I have a major problem with Facebook on a personal level. I don't do Facebook personally. My daughter's probably rolling my eyes as I say this. So I know with a group, somehow I've got to share who I am, and I don't want to do that on Facebook. I like to just promote the business, but I'm getting around to it, so I'm going to buckle down. I've been doing my reading and studying, and sort of get over yourself already, Debbie, you know, do the Facebook group, because apparently this is the way that we can communicate without sharing absolutely everything. Okay, so for tonight's show, I had a couple of topics, couple of titles, and you may have noticed one of the emails that I sent, it was missing the word B. It says, I want to a wedding planner or something. I noticed that after. It always happens when I do a mass email, so I apologize. But basically, it's help, I want to be a wedding planner. And it's because of the questions that I received from many of you asking, you know, what do I do? How do I get going? What's the big deal? You know, what's the first step that I should take? So we've been going through this No Weddings, Do You Know Weddings, KNOW, but I sort of put that on pause for a moment so I could address this question, because if it's coming up that frequently, then I think several of you probably are wondering the same thing. So I hope I can answer the questions within your time slot. So several of you wrote to me. Camille is one person. I had the notes with everybody's name on. So much for me and my planning. And I don't have it now. But several of you wrote asking, and I wanted to address you by name. And I apologize. I don't have that in front of me. Actually, maybe I can pull that up. Bear with me a second. Give credit where it's due, right? Oh, there it is. Tammy was one person. No, Tammy had another question, and I'll bring that up. Reggie or Raja, and I think Reggie's in the chat room today, had a question. Well, the question from Reggie was, any suggestions for starting the business while working at a militant full-time job with no access to cell phone or computer use? So we kind of touch on that. Camille, I mentioned, was the other person that asked, how does one exactly begin to get all of this wedding planner stuff under their belt? I would love to become a wedding planner one day, but I have no idea where to start. Holly asked a similar question. I would like to know exactly what the first steps are after I complete my wedding planning certification. Do I coordinate my first wedding on my own and go from there? Should I intern? How exactly do I start? So that's what I'm going to talk about today. Okay. Of course, if you have questions, please post them. But you know how I am with the bright and shiny objects. I'll look over at the chat and I'll be thrown off and I'll, you know, I'm just go off on a tangent. So if you want to call in, that's good too. Again, 626-213-5678, and just push the number one. But I'll try to keep my eye on the chat. Okay, so I want to be a wedding planner. So the questions, and this is just my opinion, right? Because I don't know everything, and I've learned a lot of lessons along the way. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it differently. But some of the things you want to ask yourself, you know, why do you want to be a wedding planner? Is it because you love weddings? Is it because you enjoy planning yours? Is it because you were really involved in planning a friend or family member's wedding and you were really good at it and everybody said, hey, you should do this for a living? Is that why? Is it because you want to make additional income? Is it because you want to replace your current income? Is it just the design and the look of weddings? Is that why you want to plan weddings? I know a lot of people are on Pinterest. Pinterest is hot right now. She says, and she's not on Pinterest, but it makes sense. It's a perfect, you know, whoever came up with Pinterest, it's almost like they were thinking about weddings, right? Because it's a very visual thing. Is that really why you want to be a wedding planner? So ask yourself these questions because the response will help you decide which direction you want to take and the steps, you know, the order, the steps that you should take with being a wedding planner. When you look at things like Martha Stewart weddings, you see Preston Bailey and David Tutura and all these great wedding planners, you see the movies and so forth. That is a draw and attraction for a lot of us. But I want us to be honest, and I'm going to keep it real, and I'm not trying to deter anybody. But for someone who's doing this, I just want to be honest about it. You know, do you know what a wedding planner does? Do you really understand? It's not just what you see in the movies. It's way more than what you see on TV. There's a lot of grunt work. There is a lot of grunt work. Yes, it's a very satisfying feeling after a wedding, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on for that wedding to be almost flawless, to look as beautiful as it does. Someone's got to pull all of that together. That's you, the wedding planner. Are you willing to give up your weekends and your evenings to do this? Because that's the reality. If evenings and weekends are not something that you have a lot, if you're not available during those times, that's probably going to be an issue. That's when a lot of your brides and grooms will be available to speak with you, to meet with vendors. And that's, let's face it, that's when most weddings take place. I know of not too many weddings that happen at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday. So weekends and evenings are prime time for us wedding planners. Are you willing to give that up? Are you a hand holder? There's a lot of hand holding going on with weddings, wedding planning. Again, it's way more than the design. You're dealing with someone who's looking to you, and a lot of times more than one person, who's coming to you for guidance and will have a lot of questions. Remember, now we're supposed to be doing this regularly, but there's a good chance that your bride, your groom, don't know enough about weddings and they will look to you. So are you willing to hold someone's hand to do that throughout the duration of the wedding planning process? Do you have the patience for the details? Because it's the details that make the wedding spectacular. And I mentioned this a few shows ago. I'm talking about being to the point where you're just anal, you know, double checking about the flowers. You know the flowers are supposed to be there at 2, but calling the florist again to make sure he or she understands that they need to be there by 1:30 and getting there at 1, no one's going to be there to meet them. Things like that. Can you get through a crisis without instantly going into panic mode? And you know the people that I'm talking about, that as soon as something goes wrong, my mother. So, you know, just think about that. And the good thing is that all of these traits and what's the other one I'm looking for? These qualities you can develop and learn. God knows I've learned a lot since I've been doing this. But be honest with yourself, because once you're honest with yourself, then you can either fix or try to change those things. You have to be conscious of that, right? Are you comfortable pounding the pavement to meet and talk to wedding service providers? Because this is ongoing. You cannot do this wedding thing by yourself. And even to the point where if you don't have a client, you're going to have to keep going out there and talking to people, talking to vendors. I'm always in amazement. And I say that line a lot, but I am, with the number of people that are doing this, but they don't have a list of vendors that they can call just like that. Is there a caterer you can call? Is there a florist you can call? Is there a DJ you can call? Because if you are a wedding planner who is charging for your services, you should have that at hand. You should know where to go. And this is something you have to be comfortable doing. Pounding the pavement, meeting and talking to service providers, because not every service provider that you meet is going to be great. So you're going to have more than one cake person on staff, not on staff, but that you can talk to and communicate with and suggest to your clients. These are all things that you have to think about. The next thing you want to consider is, do you want to be an employee or do you want to be the owner of your wedding planning business? For the most part, I found most people want to be the owner of their wedding planning business. That would be me. But be honest again, can you deal with weddings all the time? Because as the owner of a wedding planning business, everything comes back to you. You're responsible, whether you feel like it or not. Or would you prefer just to have weddings, do weddings when you're on the clock, meaning you'd rather work for a company or an organization, maybe a hotel or a banquet facility or another wedding planning company where you're on staff? You'll have to answer to someone, but the plus side is that they'll have systems in place and training for you. At least I hope they do. So that's a great way to get started. And for some people, that's all they want. When it's not really a 9-to-5, because again, evenings and weekends are part of the deal. But some of us don't want to do this as a business and set up and get incorporated and, you know, figure out all the paperwork and go out and meet vendors. When you're an employee, all of that's been taken care of by someone else. That's not such a bad rap. So it may work for you. So be honest. Maybe that's your starting point, and then you move on to being your own wedding planning business owner. And as a wedding planning business owner, keeping it real, until you have a staff, it does consume you. Being a wedding planner, being the owner of your own wedding planning business, it consumes you. Because someone is giving you the responsibility of their wedding details, right? You're being compensated. Someone is paying you to help plan their wedding. Think about that. Just think about that. How many times have you paid for something, a service or work with a business, and you've been disappointed? You're like, you know, I don't want to do business with this company again. You don't want to be that company. And that may not be your intention, but it could happen. Let's say you're working full time and you're running your wedding planning business part time. You've got a client. You've been working all day. You're scheduled to get off work at 3. For whatever reason, your boss needed you to stay. You didn't leave work till 5. You have a vendor meeting at 6:30. You know you've got to go home and get something to eat and get yourself taken, you know, get wind down before this meeting. But because you had to work late, you can't make this meeting on time. Or you're going to go to this meeting, but you're going to be tired. You're going to be hungry. And maybe that'll show in your demeanor. Maybe you won't be as pleasant. Your client is thinking, well, whoa, you know, what happened to the bright, bubbly person that we hired for this wedding? This is what you have to do as a wedding planning business owner. So I'm not, again, trying to deter you, but I'm just trying to keep this real. And a lot of us are doing this part-time. So these are things that you have to think about, right? You don't want to be the business that's getting the bad rap because you're not doing what you said you would do. And remember, hopefully you have a contract in place. So you have to honor that contract. Whatever that person has paid for, you need to deliver that. It doesn't matter if someone calls out or your event manager doesn't show up. You've got to deliver. They really don't care. They've paid for your service. So just keep all of that in mind. Now, assuming all of that is fine with you, then let's move forward. But just keep those things in mind. You don't have to be the owner of your own wedding planning business. You can work for someone else. Those positions are coming up a lot more often. I know when I first started planning weddings, when I decided to launch my business, those positions were harder to find. But I think with the advent of the internet and everyone's online, it's so much easier to connect with other people. And because wedding planning is so much more front and center, it's become recognized as a career. So, and of course, those of us that have been in the industry longer are getting busier, so we need help. So we want to hire people to help us with our wedding. So as a wedding planner, a business owner, make sure you keep that in mind too. Your hope should be that you are not the business, and I'm guilty of this because I am. If I fall down in a manhole, there are going to be some unhappy clients. So I know I need to have staff, not just for events, but on an ongoing basis. So just wanted to make sure I shared that with you. So now, assuming that I haven't scared you off completely, here's what I think the steps are once you've made that decision. Yeah, I'm moving forward. Okay, there are 7 steps, kind of, sort of. And when I finish explaining them, I'll tell you why I say kind of, sort of. Okay? The 7 steps are: get a firm understanding of weddings. Second step is to consider a niche or specialty. 3 is to start meeting with your local vendors. 4, look for and join an association. 5, get certified, maybe. 6, work on getting your wedding planning business started. Step 7 really isn't a step, and I'll save 7 for the end. So let me go over these steps. And again, this is just my opinion. This is what I've experienced. And I think had I followed these steps when I first started, I would have been further ahead with my wedding planning business. So the first thing I mentioned was to get a firm understanding of weddings. Do this before you print your business card, before you put up a website. Make sure that you understand what happens at a wedding. And that's part of the reason why I did that No Wedding, K-N-O-W Weddings series that is still ongoing on Confetti Radio. This is so that you know what happens at a wedding. You understand the catering. You understand what happens with flowers. You understand what happens at the wedding ceremony. You understand what happens at the wedding reception. Doing this, learning about what happens at a wedding, shouldn't take forever. Because if you're passionate about it, you're going to sail through it. You'll just want to learn information. You'll be like a sponge. You're just going to want to soak up that information. As you're learning about what happens at a wedding and getting a firm understanding of weddings, different ethnicities, different cultures, if you start to lose interest, that's a good indicator for you that this may not be the gig for you. And that's okay, because the time to discover that is now. That's why I say, do that before you print your business card, before you get your website up. Start researching weddings. And as you start learning different aspects, start writing and start sharing about it as you learn. Now, I've contradicted myself because I said, you know, think about this before your website. But maybe you create a blog. Your blog doesn't have to be the business. Your blog can be an extension of your business. So you can create a blog. And as you learn the information, you know, we talked about wedding gift registry. We've talked about the wedding ceremony. The next episode coming up, we're talking about the wedding reception. And the one following that will be about wedding cakes. So as you learn that information, as you're reading, as you're hearing, as you're going online, share that information. Because what that's doing is that it's positioning you as an expert. Because I think once you start positioning yourself as an expert, you will find that getting clients and making friends with vendors is going to be so much easier for you, and your business will take off a lot faster if that's the route you decide to go. Also, get involved in some hands-on planning. Family members, friends, vendors, and we'll talk about that in a second, plan their events, whether it's baby shower, party, birthday, wedding, fantastic, engagement, even if it's corporate events. Get involved. Your goal is to get testimonials. Your goal is to get photos. But more importantly than those two, I believe, is that you're tracking your time. Because as a wedding planner, that's the best way, in my opinion, for you to be compensated, is to know how much time it takes for you to do certain tasks, how much time it takes for you to meet with a caterer, how much time it takes for you to sit down with your client during their initial consultation, how much time it takes for you to come up with a color scheme, how much time does it take for you to sit down with someone and go over an invitation order. These are things you should be tracking your time on. And if you're doing that as you're planning with friends and families, you'll soon have an idea of how long that time takes. Because if you know how long that time takes, how long that task takes. So if you know your Venda meetings are averaging about an hour and a half to 2 hours, then you know that when it comes time to set up your business and you're trying to determine your pricing, if you know that your rate is going to be $20 an hour, that's not enough money, but $20 an hour, you'll know that, you know, $40 is probably going to go towards a Venda meeting. And then you can start tracking what your fees are going to be. Do you get what I mean? So get involved in planning, get testimonials. You want to make sure that that's the deal. If you're helping someone plan their event and you're not being compensated, or you're being compensated for a very small amount, they have to give you a testimonial. They have to give you rights to some photos. The testimonials are your proof that you've planned weddings. Remember, I know a lot of us do this. When someone asks how many weddings you've planned, well, I've only planned weddings for friends and family. Got to cut that out, because now you have testimonials, now you have photos, and you can say, well, I've planned 6 events so far this year, and here's some of the feedback, and here are some of the photos of those events. Ah, there you go. And of course, you're tracking your time. That's very, very important. Not very weddingy, not very, very glamorous, but that's something that you really should be doing. Okay? Another thing that you can do to get involved in hands-on planning, and this ties on with what we talked about last week, is to sell wedding invitations. I think this is one of the easiest ways to get started. There's low investment. And even if you decide, you know, whether you decide to move forward as a wedding planner or not, as you're selling invitations, you're interacting with people who are planning a wedding. So you'll become familiar with, you know, some of their trials and tribulations, what they're looking for, what some of the trends are. And you get, again, to position yourself as an expert. And even if they don't come to you to plan their wedding, they should remember you as the person that provided their stationery. But what's probably going to happen is the more they speak to you, the more they spend time with you, then there's a good chance that they'll ask you about your wedding planning services. Bingo. You got a client without even trying to look for a client. So again, this is why, and this is all part of step number one, to get a firm understanding of weddings. So for those of you that aren't quite sure where to get started, just start, put it out there. You don't have to build your website yet. If you have, that's fine. But just focus on getting that experience, because nobody wants you to be the first, and none of your clients want to be your first client. They don't want their wedding or event to be the first one that you plan. So if you have some under your belt and you've got some proof of that, again, the testimonials, the photos, then that puts you in a better starting position. And if you're writing about it, and when I say writing, you can do it on a blog, you can do it on Facebook, you can do it on Twitter. Pinterest is another way to get people to find out what it is that you're doing and talking about it. You can write articles for your local newspaper. You don't have to be a wedding planner who's in business yet to do that. You're just sort of setting yourself up as an expert, okay? Again, the invitations is another way to get your foot in the door. And I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm just suggesting that as a way to get going. Okay? So get a firm understanding of weddings. That's my first suggestion. The second thing is to seriously, seriously consider a specialty for your wedding planning business, or a niche. And as you're learning about weddings, as I just mentioned in step one, what's going to happen is you're going to start gravitating towards a certain area or a certain style. And pay attention to that, because that could potentially be your money-making niche, your money-making specialty, things that you are just naturally attracted to, things that just seem like second nature to you. So think about that. And I made that mistake when I started my business down the aisle. I was just so happy to be in business and planning weddings, but I was sort of all over the place. Anybody that sort of came along, or anybody I heard that was getting married, I sort of jumped on that. And I realize now in hindsight that that was really not the best way to go. I started off thinking maybe you should have a niche. It's a good idea. But I'm a firm believer now that that's the way to go in any business, because this is how you stand out. How many people are planning weddings out there? There are a lot of people that say they're planning weddings, but when you say you specialize, I specialize in Indian weddings. I specialize in green weddings. I specialize in same-sex weddings and unions. I specialize in destination weddings. Those are the things that stand out in people's minds, and you want to stand out. Again, you're preparing yourself so that when you're ready to launch this business, it's going to be so much easier, because you're going to be so focused and so zoned in as to which type of bride that you want and which type of bride you don't want, which is just as important, Your vendors will know which brides to send your way. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to be so much happier doing this wedding planning thing because you're going to be planning the weddings that you want and the weddings that you enjoy. So I really, really believe a niche or a specialty is key. Again, it's going to help you stand out. Okay? That's number two. So number one, get a firm understanding of weddings. Studying, reading, planning. Number two, seriously consider a niche or a specialty. Okay? Let me just pop over to the chat. Hello, so many of you I recognize. Good to see you here. Sean's laughing. $20 an hour. Oh, Lordy, tell me how you survive. Yeah, that's not enough money. $20 an hour. Don't do that. Don't do that. $20 is what I'm talking about. Sean is saying, Debbie's so right about gravitating towards a certain client naturally. Yeah, it's in us. We know who we are. Don't fight what it is, because you know what it is? Logic is probably stopping a lot of us from doing what we should do, because we start thinking, that's a weird thing. How am I going to make money? Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. Something's pulling you in that direction. Follow that instinct, because it's going to be so easy and so natural for you. When you speak about it, your face will light up. When you talk to others, they're going to sort of lean in and want to hear more, because you're not trying to be something or somebody else. Okay, the third step, I believe, is to start meeting wedding local vendors or local wedding vendors. I said that incorrectly. This is a big deal, and a lot of us do not do this. You've got to start talking to people who are doing this wedding thing all day long. You've got to, because unless you are also the caterer, the photographer, the videographer, the chauffeur, the florist, and you have a venue, you've got to meet other people. And I think the only people that sort of fit that category are sort of all-inclusive companies. And even then, you still need outside help. But as remember, we're still sort of getting into the beginning stages here. Once you start talking to people in your area, you will have the inside track as to what's going on in your area. What's in, what's out, how much brides are spending, what they want but cannot find. Maybe you're the person that can provide it. You have to go out there and meet vendors. And your goal should be at least three vendors in each category. Three caterers, three florists, three transportation companies. Venues, more than that. You want to start, keep building. And there are several reasons for doing this. The obvious reason, of course, is so that you can refer these people to your clients if you decide to move forward with the wedding planning business. But these folks, again, are a good source of information. But more importantly, they're probably going to start sending business your way. Because believe it or not, not many planners do this. A lot of us do not go out there and meet wedding vendors. We don't. We wait until we get a client who says they have a budget and they've got a particular style. And then we say, okay, let me see. I'm going to start looking for caterers. Then I'm going to start looking for florists. How much easier would your life be if you already have a list of people that you can start calling? Okay, let me call Jenny and see if she's available on that date. Or let me call Jason and see if he's available on that date. His style kind of matches. How much easier would that be? And how much more receptive is that vendor going to be because they've already met you? You've taken the time to go meet with them. Maybe you've even decided to work with them. I've suggested several times that shadowing a wedding vendor is a really great way to get some hands-on experience. And that ties in with step number one that I mentioned about getting hands-on planning. I said family, friends, but also vendors. When you meet with a wedding planning vendor and you take a shine to this person, that, you know, their style, you vibe with their style, you like the budget range that they're in, and they seem really passionate and that they're going to do a good job, they've got satisfied customers, another key point, other vendors are saying great things about them, then how great would it be for you to be able to work with that person too, to be able to shadow them? When they now have a client that needs help, they're probably going to recommend you. But more importantly, because you have that relationship, if you're in a bind, if that DJ falls through and you give them a call, they're probably much more likely to respond to you. That relationship's already there. That's what we do as human beings once we get to know, like, and trust someone. So don't worry about wedding planners so much. I hear a lot of people asking about talking to wedding planners and shadowing wedding planners, interning wedding planners. Most wedding planners don't want you on board. There, I said it. Because they feel that you are the competition, that you're going to come in, learn everything that they know, and take off and then be the direct competitor. Not all, but most wedding planners will think that way. And it's I guess a legitimate reason. I believe there's more than enough business for all of us. So forget about that. Don't let that throw you off. Start meeting the other vendors, because other wedding planners are not doing that. They're not doing that. I know it because I don't do enough of it. But it's a really great way. And the more relationships that you make, the better it will be for you. Caterers are a really good source of information. So are the banquet facilities and the hotels, because the reception usually takes up the bulk of the wedding budget. So these folks know what's going on. And the other key part is, because the wedding reception is usually 50% of the budget thereabouts, once you know what caterers in your area are charging, then you instantly have an idea of what the average bride is spending in your area. And that's important for you to know. Because when a bride comes to you with a $5,000 wedding budget and wants to have a huge wedding, you know, with lots and lots of people and lots of food, then you can say, that's great, but I think we're going to have to rethink this a little bit, because you already know what the deal is in your area, okay? So go out there and make friends with vendors as you're getting started in this wedding planning business. Don't wait until your website's up. Don't wait until your business cards are printed, although it's a good idea to do that. But you can still meet them and say, you know, I'm investigating. I really want to launch a wedding planning business in this area, but I want to get a handle of what's going on. Use that line and just start talking to people in your area, okay? Let me take a look. Let's see. Sean saying, be honest with them. I guess we're talking about vendors. Tell them you wanted to introduce yourself because you're new. They can smell fake a mile away. That's right. It was the hardest thing for me to do because I didn't have a client to offer them in exchange for the meeting. So Sean, you know, keep it real. I found, right, because I know when I started this business, 2001, it was September 11th in New York, that time frame, actually. It's kind of rough. I'm not belittling what went on, but it was just sort of an awkward time. But I would try to pretend to be this wedding planner who was so experienced, and I had people on staff, and I planned so many weddings, and that really wasn't the case. My experience was what I had done at Tavern on the Green, and that was great experience for the weddings there, but those weren't really my weddings, you know? So be real, because as Sean says, vendors can smell fake a mile away. Most of us can. Just keep it real. If you don't have your wedding business, if your wedding business is not quite there yet, say that. But you can just say, I'm researching. I just want to get a good handle on what's going on in this area, because I know I cannot plan a good wedding unless I have great vendors. Isn't that the truth? And just keep it real with them. You don't have to pretend that you're some big company if you're not. And most of us are not. And this is why I say, if you try to find a specialty or a niche, that conversation is going to be so much easier. And also finding vendors is going to be easier, because you'll know the kind of vendors that fit into your specialty. Do you see how much easier it's starting to become when you go that route? Because now you can start focusing on the stuff that fit what you want, and you just sort of push everything else away. You can still have that information and have that as a sidebar if you need someone to sort of jump in at the last minute, but you're so zeroed in, you're so focused on what it is that you're doing, that it becomes way easier for you in a lot of different instances. Raja, am I saying that right? Alvarez, what do you think about etiquette training as a niche? I think that's a really great specialty, because that's a great suggestion. I like that, because you can sort of branch that out into a lot of different things. Because some of you may remember on this, the show we did a few weeks ago, and Kiki was talking about this wedding she did, and she was trying to tell the wedding, she wasn't the lead wedding planner, but she tried, I'm sorry, there's a hair on my lip. And she was trying to tell this wedding planner that, you know, they need to have a place available for the wedding gifts. And this wedding planner was saying, no, people have already sent the gifts. And Kiki was right. But really, I mean, traditionally, people send the gifts ahead of time. You knowing that just positions you, that could be your, I was going to say shtick. I didn't mean it in a bad way. But that's a really good thing for you, because imagine that you can write articles when the local news station needs an expert. You could be that person. You could do a workshop at your community college. There's so many things you can do with that. There's so many things you can write about. And it touches on all different areas of the wedding, so that when you are Miss Alvarez, when you are the expert and you know your stuff when it comes to weddings, when someone's looking for a wedding planner, when your vendors are looking to send their client somewhere, you're probably one of the top people that they're going to think about because you know your stuff. Etiquette is a big deal, I think, not to the point that we have to follow it rigidly, but it helps us understand and helps guide us. A lot of times when people don't know, you can fall back and say, well, traditionally, this is what happens. And I love to be able to say, you know, do you know why people do that? Well, this is why, you know, because, you know, the runner is there, the aisle runner is there because people back in the day, they used to think evil spirits lurk below the church floor. So that's really what that's about. But the aisle runner is something that the ushers usually, you know, roll down right before the bride walks down the aisle and things like that. Just saying that, you are positioned as an expert. So yes, in my very long-winded, typical way. I think that's an awesome niche. Don't second guess yourself. And, you know, when you are trying to figure out what to do, just think about what comes to you naturally, what you enjoy, what you kind of light up about. When you go to a bridal magazine, what kind of things do you turn to instinctively? Because we all do it. We all do it. And don't fight that. Monique is saying some vendors, and this is to Sean. Monique, I'm jumping in. Some vendors already have planners that they work with and will place you at the bottom of the list. That's fine, Monique. That's their issue, not yours. And that's probably because they developed a relationship with them and those planners have proven who they are and what they can do. If you're the new kid on the block, you can't expect them to want to recommend you instantly, but instantly. Keep in contact with them. Ask to shadow them. Ask to hang out with them on one of the weddings that they're doing. And then they'll get to see how passionate you are. You get to prove your point and demonstrate what you can do. But don't ever make someone's issue your issue. If they can't see you for what you are, whether on the wedding wire or on the knot, or that are advertised and have the most Twitter followers, there are some really great hidden gems in all of our areas. You've got to be the person to find them. Talk to people who are your friends, your family members, and when you find a great wedding vendor, ask them who they recommend. They know who's really walking the walk and talking the talk. So find those people. If you find a great DJ and nobody else knows about him, you're doing well. You're doing well. And maybe between the two of you, you can end up, you know, taking this wedding planning thing to another level. So don't worry so much about what others are doing. Just focus on you, your niche, and your specialty. Sean's saying, better to be at the bottom than not on it at all. Yeah, introducing yourself, telling them you aren't concerned with their planners because you're the best. A lot of it is just faking it until you make it. You know, just keep learning, keep growing, and keep meeting people. It sounds corny, but it really, really is that simple. Let's see. I see a lot of other comments. Okay, I'm going to go on. Oh, Sean is just rocking it with these niches. Budget weddings, DIY weddings, luxury weddings, destination weddings, specific cultural celebrations, same-sex celebrations. Larissa's saying green, cultural, same-sex. Yeah, be yourself. Be yourself. There are things that we are going to, that we just gravitate towards. I keep saying it, but just don't, you look at others for inspiration, but don't, don't imitate, emulate. Wow. That sounded almost corny there, but that's what I'm getting at. You know, look at other people for inspiration, other industries too, and see where you can fit in. Also, when you meet the wedding vendors, they will tell you what brides are looking for but cannot find, you know, listen to that very carefully and see if there's a way that you can fill in. Because it's way easier to sell something that everybody wants than to come up with something and then try to find people that want it. Okay? All right. So I'm going to move on. After meeting with the vendors, the next thing I would suggest is to look for and join an association. Maybe a wedding planning association, doesn't have to be. But you want to get involved with like-minded people. And the reason I say it doesn't have to be a wedding planning industry, because sometimes the best connections that you make are with people who are in a similar situation, but in another industry. And maybe something that they have found that works in their industry, you can apply to your industry. So get out there and meet like-minded people. You know, Association of Bridal Consultants is a big one. ISIS, which is the International Special Events Society. In the UK, there's UKAWP, there's AWFPI. Here in the US, there's some in Australia that I'm forgetting. Please forgive me, my Aussie friends. I mean, they're all over. Do your research, but get involved. Get involved in these associations. A lot of them should allow you... They're just hair all over the place. On my lips and my eyes. Get involved. Try to join a committee. And try to be a leader. Even if instinctively you are not a leader. When you are involved in something that you're passionate about, I think you'll find that you're going to be more likely to start saying things and joining in and chiming in. Again, it may just be your local chamber of commerce, but meeting with people who are entrepreneurial in spirit is a big boost for you because, again, you get some ideas about things that you can do. And maybe if you're in an organization and you're the only wedding person, a lot of times those people will come to you with regards to events and weddings and ask you, you become the go-to person. So you, again, are positioned as the expert. And remember I talked about writing and sharing? Then you can point out things like, you know, last month I wrote a post about this on my blog. You guys should check that out. You know, if you check out my article that's in the local Gazette, you'll see what it is that I'm talking about. So get involved. Don't just sit on the sidelines. If there isn't a committee or organization in your area, why not create your own network? You can get, once you stop meeting with vendors, remember you're doing that, right? You stop meeting with vendors, you can form your own group. I think it was Laura. I don't think she's here today. Laura Ferrick, I want to say, but I could be wrong, said that she has a network meeting. I think they meet once a month. And I'm not quite sure what goes on in that meeting, but just if you know that once a month you're meeting with a group of people who are like-minded, who want to hear about your progress, who want to hear about your success, who want to hear and help you with some things that maybe you're struggling with, that's something to look forward to because you may have experienced not everybody wants to talk about weddings and, you know, wedding business, you know, always. I always want to talk about weddings and business, but by creating a committee or finding a committee or creating your own committee, you just find you're in that group. It's really stimulating. It really, really is. So as a wedding planner, you cannot afford to be a wallflower. You've got to get out there and start meeting and talking about what you're doing. And I haven't even mentioned starting a wedding planning business yet. I'm just talking about getting involved with weddings. You can do all of this while you're getting yourself ready. Okay, so number one, get a firm understanding of weddings. Number two, seriously consider a niche or a specialty. Three, start meeting wedding locals. Start meeting local wedding vendors. This is ongoing. This is something you do all the time. Look for and join an association. And it doesn't have to be a certification course. Don't get the two mixed up. Because some association certification, they'll say association/certification. I haven't even touched on that yet. But what I'm suggesting is that you start meeting with like-minded people. And then the next step is then get certified. Maybe. I'm not against certification. I'm all for it. And I'm talking about wedding planner certification. It isn't required, but what it does indicate to people is that you're serious about this. And the reason I put it so far down is because I think all of the other things are more important. I really do. Because until you're absolutely sure that you really want to do more with weddings, until you start talking with local vendors who can tell you what the deal is, while you're thinking about a specialty, then you can start thinking, well, maybe I want to get certified. Once you jump into certification Once you start thinking about this wedding planning thing and then you realize, yeah, I want to do this, that's the time to start looking for a certification course, in my opinion. But do your research because some wedding planner certification courses are really just teaching you about weddings in general. And yes, you do need to know that, but I'm a firm believer that you can learn all you need to know about weddings, not planning weddings, but just weddings, from reading a few good etiquette books, from going online, shameless plug coming up, from listening to Confetti Radio, going on Weddings for a Living. There are just so many resources that you can find where you can learn everything there is to know about weddings. A good wedding planner certification course should direct you as to what you need to do as a wedding planner, your role as wedding planner. That should be the bulk of that certification course. Not just what not just about flowers and cakes. Those things are important, but I know you can learn those things without paying for a wedding planner certification course. And I'm probably going to get a barrage of emails and comments about that, but I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, do your research and find the right course for what you need, because you need a course that's going to help you be ready as a professional wedding planner. And in my experience, unless things have changed drastically in the last few months, those are few and far between. So look for a really good wedding planner certification course. When you find one, ask to talk to recently graduated students, not just the ones that they want to send your way. Thank God it's social media, because you can find out on Twitter and Facebook and all of these different places what the real deal is, okay? It's optional, but it does show that you are serious about what you're doing. What was I about to say? Some, but not all, are really just wedding planning courses. So make sure. Events like Wedding MBA that's coming up, be a part of those things. And that sort of ties in with meeting like-minded people. You can go to a Wedding MBA and not be ready with your wedding planning business. You don't have to wait for that. If it's something that you want to invest in, then go ahead. You'll meet people and talk to people. Maybe there's just one idea that sparks it for you. So all I'm suggesting is that you're involved with people who are doing things that you aspire to do, or who are doing what you're doing, who are in the same boat. Okay, so get certified. Get certified, maybe, but just find a really good course. And then, number six, then, get going with your wedding planning business. The reason I say it that way is because many of us get our website up, we get a wedding business name, and then we're kind of like, we're stuck. I get a lot of emails saying, I have my first client, but I'm not quite sure how to price my services. What? That's something you've got to think about before you set up your wedding planning business. These are things you got to think about. So before we jump in head first with our wedding planning business, and I'm not suggesting that all of these things happen one by one by one by one, because it does sort of happen. I was going to say organically. That's a really overused term. But some of this stuff is happening simultaneously, but you've got to get those things in order. Again, if you have that specialty, and I'll keep coming back to it because I know this works, how much easier and how much focus is your website going to be? How much easier is it going to be to come up with a logo? How much easier is it going to be for you to market your business and explain what you do because you specialize? So this is why I say, get those things in order. Start talking to vendors. Make sure you understand what really is involved in a wedding, as what happens at a wedding, and what your role as a wedding planner should be. And then get your wedding business going. Then start getting those things going. You should be, if you're in a wedding planner certification course, think about your niche if you haven't already. If you already know your niche, then you can start getting your website going. You can start with the blog or reserve the domain name for your wedding business. And that's important for branding purposes, so you can secure that. I have domain names up the yin yang. I mean, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, Tourette's like, and like, yes, that's that name. And I'll go and reserve it. For less than $12 a year, you bet I'm doing that. And then maybe a year later, I change my mind, but maybe it just sits there until it's time for me to move forward. So you can do those things. But all I'm suggesting is before we jump headfirst into this wedding planning business thing, make sure we really do want to be wedding planners. Make sure we try to focus on a specialty, because your life will be so much easier. I'm speaking from experience. I'm in the process of relaunching my business for 2013. It was my goal to do that for 2012, and then kind of confetti radio came up and sort of consumed me. But I'm relaunching, and I've zoned in, and honest to God, my life is so much easier. Doing these shows help me too, because every time I research to get the information to share with you, I am learning, and it just moves me up as an expert. I am much more confident when I talk to people, and when I hear a conversation about weddings, I can jump in because I know what I'm talking about. And that's exactly how I think it should be for you. I really do. So again, I'll just touch again. What time is it? Ooh, it's almost 8 o'clock. One is to get a firm understanding of weddings. The second step, I believe, is to seriously consider a niche. Number three, start meeting with local wedding vendors. I keep doing that. Start meeting with local wedding vendors. 4, look for and join an association so that you can meet other people who are involved in business, maybe in our wedding industry, but doesn't have to be. Get certified if that's what you really need to do. And sometimes, and I should mention, you know, in trying to get a firm understanding of weddings, maybe reading and going online isn't what you have time for. You just want to get it done in a course, then take the certification course if they're going to give you all that information. Then, as you're doing, and sort of like along the sidelines, start thinking about your business. Business plan, marketing plan, pricing, your operations. Where's your office going to be? How are you going to deal with telephone calls? If you're working a full-time job, how are you going to handle those calls when you're not available to take the phone calls? Or how are you going to respond to emails quickly? Is it all going to be mobile? These are the things I want you to think about. And you may be doing these things simultaneously, but as you do, you know, as you start thinking, start writing down. And I was looking back at some things in my files the other day, and I was looking at my business plan. It's, if you could call it that, it's about 3, maybe 4 pages long. It doesn't follow a traditional business plan, but it covers all the bases for my business, where I wanted to set things up and the challenges that I faced, how I was going to take my calls, because back then, making myself sound really old, it really wasn't, people weren't taking calls on their cell phone. Do you remember that? When operating your business on your cell phone, you just seemed like an amateur. That's all changed now. Thank God. So back then I was trying to, you know, I use Freedom Voice. Try freedomvoice.com. It's a really great website. Really great service that for less than $10 a month, I have a number that hasn't changed in almost 10 years. I know instantly when someone's calling about business on my cell phone, I know how to answer the phone, whether I want to take the call or not. They get hold music when they call. It's a really good service. So you should check that out. Try freedomvoice.com. And I think they have a free 15 or 30 day trial. But that's something that I wrote about in my plan for how I was going to run my business. Okay. So write things down. Think these things through. How many vendors are you going to meet each week? Make that a goal. Or how many are you going to meet each month? Is it going to be one every other week? Is it going to be one each week? Write that down. Share it with someone so that you're accountable, so that person can check on you and doing those things. Share your information. Write at least one blog post. Create a blog. WordPress makes it super easy, super cheap to do that. You know, if you're watching the latest Bridezilla episode, write about that or tweet about that. A celebrity wedding, you know, share with your local brides how they could incorporate some of those things locally. You know, I found this book in the library the other day about desserts. It's, you know, edible arrangements, which can be kind of pricey. Well, this book shows you how to do the same thing with fruit. And I thought, wow, that's neat. So I say that to say that you could use the same idea with cakes. A great wedding cake from a celebrity wedding, if you go to your local grocery store and they have a bakery department, maybe they have something similar. Wow, you know, you can show brides, this is the $3,000 wedding cake. Here's one I found for less than $150. And that's a post right there. You're sharing your knowledge and your information. You're not giving away the whole farm. But what you're doing is you're building your credibility and your expert status, okay? All of this is going on while you're getting your ducks in a row. This is what I suggest. And this is, and that's really it. These are my ideas and my suggestions for how you can get started as a wedding planner. Maybe, again, you don't have to be a wedding planning business owner. You can be an employee, but let's be real. I don't understand when folks jump into a website, they've got their services, but they don't have a contract in place, or they haven't figured out how they're going to price things, or they don't have a sheet that they can take all of their brides and grooms information. How can you in good conscience accept someone's payment and you're not really ready? So just start getting those things in line. Wedding Business Guide is a site that I created for folks when they reach the stage that they want to get going. And I've been a little neglectful, and I'll be honest about that. And I'm thinking of some ways that I'm going to change that. But what it is, it's when you get to the stage that I'm ready to start my business. That's why I created that site. And I think I'm going to have to, well, I'm not going to, I'll share that in a couple of episodes away. But the reason I created that site was it's not how to plan a wedding, although that is on there, how to plan a wedding professionally. But it's more focused on, this is what you need to do as a wedding planner. This is how you need to get yourself lined up to get your business off the ground. But it's not for everybody, because some of us are still at the I'm not quite sure stage, or I don't know exactly which part of weddings I want to do. Some of us want to be wedding designers. We want to have nothing to do with the logistics of planning a wedding. That's fine. That's a specialty right there. So be honest with yourself. I thought I was a creative soul. I still believe I am, but I'm way more anal than I realized. So when it comes to the logistics and the lists, I'm really, really good at that, even if I do say so myself. And that's what I pride myself on, and that's my focus. The design of a wedding, I can hold my own, but I would outsource that in a heartbeat, because I want someone else who take on the design responsibility. And I think if that's their specialty, let them do it. Just like I let the caterer do his thing, I let the limo company do their thing, I let the designer do their thing. But when it comes to logistics and getting everything lined up, I'm your girl. So that's what I believe. Again, this is just my opinion. There are many, many other ways to do this wedding planning thing. But that's what I realized had I done this in hindsight. Say hindsight is, what's hindsight? Hindsight's 2020. It's the honest to God's truth. If I had thought this through a little more, things would have taken off for me a lot faster. Let's see what questions are here. I can see the chat going crazy. If you posted a question and it's off the chat, you can post it again. Let's see. Let me check the switchboard too. I forgot to do that. Okay, I see several of you there, but no questions. So let me go back to the chat if I can find it. And I love the way that you folks are interacting with one another, because I don't have all the answers. Well, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. Kiki's saying we need to see an ad 5 to 12 times before we decide to act. So don't call once and assume that's it. You need to keep sending out emails. Oh, okay. That's great. I don't exactly know which angle you're talking about, but that's true in a lot of instances. Am I saying your name right? Raja Alvarez. I majored in interior design and in college, and it's very similar. I'm out. I'm jumping in and I don't know what I'm talking about. So, I think I'm going to leave it at that. I hope what I have shared with you helps. And let me just recap the steps again so that you have them, okay? Number one, get a firm understanding of weddings. Number two, seriously consider a niche or specialty. Number three, start meeting local wedding vendors. Number four, look for and join an association, not necessarily a certification course. Number five, get certified if you feel the need to. It will help you, but it's not mandatory. Number six, then and only then, start working on getting your wedding planning business going. Step number seven was really to do these things simultaneously. As wedding planners, you know, we've got to juggle a lot of things. So, you know, even in our learning, it's sort of, you know, it's not just do this and then do this and do this. The question that I got about someone who said, I finished my certification course, what do I do now? My first suggestion is go out there and meet wedding vendors. Go out there and start talking to wedding vendors and start focusing on your niche. Those would be my first two things to do after wedding planning certification. Teresa asked, Debbie, I asked if I should have a separate website for my wedding, event planning, and custom design, or keep them together. That's a good question. If you're design, I like the idea of you can keep a link on your wedding planning site, but depending on how involved you are with your design, I think that deserves its own little mini website. I really do. If it's falling under the same business name, maybe you want to keep it together. But I think it's a really great way for those who maybe don't need a wedding planner but just want the design. Because if you're doing design and I'm planning a big party, but it's not a wedding, and I see a wedding website, I may not contact you. But if you do design for other events, I would want to see that wedding design website. And it's really a good way for you to link to your wedding website. It sort of stands on its own. So getting the link to your website is a good thing, because when folks are linking to your website, that really increases your chances when someone's searching for your services, but they don't know you exist. It really increases the likelihood that you'll show up higher on the search results. And Google is usually king with this. Google is the big gorilla, right, in the room. So if you're in favor with Google, you're in favor with other search engines. So I would say yes would be my answer, Teresa. I would say if design is a big aspect of what you do, create a separate website. And who knows, I know a lot of folks who started off with wedding planners and then they just took the design thing and ran off with that and focused on that and sort of left the logistics, and they just classify themselves as wedding designers. They don't call themselves wedding planners. They're wedding designers. And it's a very lucrative business because it's so visual. Brides who think that they don't need a wedding planner will almost always want their wedding to look fantastic. So they'll seriously consider a designer if you can show them how you can transform a room. So yes, is my answer. Great question. Okay. And Tanya's asking, where can I start a blog? Tanya, that's a good question. WordPress is my favorite thing. One of my favorite things right now. My website's Except for Wedding Business Guide, which is a Cold Fusion site. But Wedding Business Guide, Confetti Radio is built on WordPress. WordPress is freeware, shareware, just as the name suggests, you don't pay for it. WordPress meaning hosted on your own domain. So what you would need to do, Tanya, is to register your domain name, you know, weddingsbytanya.com or whatever your wedding name is, and hold on to that or whatever you want your blog to be. Maybe it's your name or maybe it's something clever like, you know, I don't know, wedding. It can be whatever you want. If it's a blog, because a blog is really just your way of sharing your thoughts and your ideas and your what you know. And if you have a domain name and you get work, once you have a domain name, what you need to do then is then pay for hosting. Hosting is very affordable. Hosting is what makes your site live. And you should be paying more than $5, $6 a month for hosting. I use HostGator, but there are way many others. Wherever you register your URL, I wouldn't always suggest hosting and registering your name at the same place. And that's a little more detail, and maybe I shouldn't even have mentioned that in this show, but it's not the end of the world. But WordPress is a really great way to create a website. If you go on Wedding Business Guide, Tanya, there is a class there called Create a Website, and you don't have to be a member to see that. And that kind of shows how you can build a WordPress website. It's a little convoluted because I did it live on a few webinars, but the notes are pretty informative. I can say by myself it's a little over the place in some of the classes, but you'll get the gist of what I'm talking about there. But WordPress, I believe, is really the way to go. It's user-friendly, and because so many people contribute to it, Tanya, you'll find a lot of information about it on the web. So check out WordPress. Cynthia is saying, my main concern is contracts. I really do not know where to start, and I do not want to have a one-size-fits-all contract. Cynthia, that's a good point. Have you seen the contract that's on Weddings for a Living? That's a good starting point. All of your contracts really should be looked at by someone who is an attorney in your area. By an attorney in your area to make sure that you're covering all your bases for what the local law is. But the contract that I have on the site is just a boilerplate, meaning you fill in the spaces for what is necessary for your client, because each client should be different. The amount of hours that you provide and what you agree to do and what your rate is. I mean, your rate may be standard, you know, based on your hourly rate, but each wedding is so different. So each contract should be different, but your contract should follow the same guidelines. The same section should be in place for every contract you write. You just change the bits in the middle. And I'm oversimplifying it, of course, but that's really, really the basis of a contract. Kiki's saying, in response to Cynthia, I also keep my contract specific to each client. You have to look at all kinds of contracts, so ask each vendor for a copy of theirs at each vendor meeting. Once you have something pretty solid, you can take it to a lawyer. Yeah. And good point, Kiki. And I mentioned this on the Wedding Business Guide, too, that when you meet with vendors, one of the things you should ask for in each vendor meeting is for a copy of their contract. It's twofold. So that, number one, you understand what how they contract with your clients so that you're prepared. And number two, it just gives you some insight of another contract to look at. Their contract may include something that you hadn't thought of, or they may have managed to word something that you've put in two or three sentences and they've managed to make it very concise. So there's a lot of things that you can learn by looking at someone else's contract. And most of these contracts, most of your vendors, when you meet with them, should be happy to share that with you, just a sample contract. Part of your role as a wedding planner is to overlook contracts, even though most of us are not attorneys. But when you know what a contract looks like, your eyes become trained for what to search for. So if I know that ABC Caterer's contract looks like, I know what to expect when my client signs up with them. I know what I'm looking at, okay? Okay, so Wedding Business Guide is the site that there is a fee. Right now it's less than $50 for the year, and I know it's on the site it says, you know, limited time. It's limited. It's been over a year, but it's still limited. I am going to change that as soon as I get my act together. But it's a good, I think it's a good starting point if you're serious about becoming a wedding planner or starting a wedding planning business. It's not for everyone, and it's not 100% comprehensive, but I think for what it offers, I think it offers quite a bit for the price, even if I do say so myself. But check it out. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up because we're getting past the 8 o'clock hour. I hope the information that I provided you with this evening was helpful. The replay you can catch at confettiradio.com/321. Okay. Please check out Confetti Radio on iTunes. Just go on iTunes, and if you could post a comment, that would be great. It's good to have feedback. My name is Debbie Quain. Please join me for our next live broadcast on Tuesday, October 2nd. Don't forget to check out Confetti Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/confettiradio, and also on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Debbie Quain. I haven't spelled my name, and somebody asked me that. It's Debbie Quain, like November. So as always, love and success, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Take care.
Confetti. You are listening to Confetti, the wedding planning business talk show on confettiradio.com.
Con what? Confetti. Con what? Confetti. Con what? Confetti. Fettuccine?
Linguini.
Spaghetti?
Confetti.